have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I'll be reading verse 14 through verse 17. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he is rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. This is an interesting passage of Scripture that the Holy Spirit has inserted right after that wonderful roll call of the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11. And God calls our mind after He gives this wonderful dissertation on faith and the power of faith and the foundation of the Christian life, faith. He calls our mind to remember an incident that took place over 2,000 years before this passage was written, and actually now over 4,000 years ago. What an interesting place to insert a remembrance of a man who did not exercise faith. Even though Esau was born into the family of one of the best known of the patriarchs, Isaac. His mother, Rebekah, was certainly a spiritual woman. But this man, Esau, in the Scripture was totally devoid of any semblance of spiritual life. He's called a fornicator in this passage of Scripture. A man who was controlled by his physical appetites and his physical lusts. A man who couldn't control his fleshly appetites, but literally allowed them to control him. He's mentioned 85 times in the pages of Scripture, generally in a negative context. Secondly, he's called profane. It's an interesting word. It refers to a person whose conduct shows contempt toward his faith, shows no reverence whatsoever for things sacred. The first evidence of how this man would eventually destroy his own life is revealed to us in the 25th chapter of Genesis, where it shows us selling his birthright to his twin brother Jacob. I want you to get this picture. The 25th chapter of Genesis tells us a story that transpired when this young man was in his early 20s. Some theologians think 21, some 22, as old as 25, but certainly a young man. And by this time, he'd already made choices in his life that set the course for his spiritual failure for the rest of his life. I think that should be interesting to you. Most of you are under 25 years old. But you're in the process of making the choices that will set the course of your spiritual life right now. And this passage clearly reveals to us how the sins of his youth became the sorrows of his adulthood. So I've entitled this message, "The Sins of Youth That Become the Sorrows of Adulthood." Let me read you the little short story of how this happened. Turn to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. I'll read verse 27 through verse 34. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him and sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And Esau despised his birthright. As we look at this young man in Scripture, the first thing that we notice that was present through his entire life, he was attracted to physical pleasure. That's what he was interested in. Whether it was eating, whether it was illicit relationships, whether it was being a sportsman, being out in the field. Genesis 25:31, when Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright, Esau said, what does that mean to me? I'm not interested in that. I'm hungry right now. I've got a desire in my flesh that needs to be filled right this minute. You're talking about something way off in the future. You're talking about something that has no effect in my life until our father dies. And I don't know how long that will be. It actually was over 50 years later that happened. He had no foresight for the future. It didn't matter to him. It's right now. It's what I can get to satisfy my flesh right at the moment. That reveals his personality. The 27th verse says, the boys grew and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. If you follow the life of Esau, where he's mentioned this 85 times in the Scripture, you see a man that was always seeking some kind of fun, some kind of recreation, some kind of enjoyment. In this passage, when he was in his early 20s, he came home from a hunting trip one day and he was very hungry. And he said to his brother, feed me. But notice that his brother is at home. Though he's not a man of great character at this time in his life, Jacob the supplanter, he's there working. He's working with his family. He's taking care of his family. His younger brother is out having a good time. He's not really a homebody. He's not a home person. He's a wanderer who's constantly out in the field. He's constantly involved with and interested in things outside of the home. His problem is a problem of the flesh. He hunted for the joy of killing. But he also hunted for the pleasure of eating. And his father, his father Isaac really enjoyed the meat that this young man brought home because he's an elderly man. He's being taken care of by his family and he enjoyed his venison. And I'm not sure but what in this divided family where the father is partial to this young man who is a real sportsman and the mother is partial to Jacob who stays home. You see that in families all the time, divided families. Families without the wisdom to know, to show no preference in their children. And that does create some problems within that family. And these problems are obviously evident in this family. But he's got a problem with the flesh. And it shows up often in his life. Actually, a little later on, at 40 years old, he married two Hittite wives. He married outside of the will of his father, outside of the will of his family. He married idol worshipers. He married people who did not believe in Jehovah God. But he's interested in these two very pretty girls with an entirely different background, a background which he shouldn't have been involved in. And then we find later he married again. And he married a daughter of Ishmael. He literally broke one of the customs of that day in as much as he married his first cousin. But I don't guess you need to worry about those things. These marriages didn't last all that long. They were just a passing fancy for him. You see, he didn't have any interest in his family when he was younger. He's not going to have a lot of interest in his family when he's older. Although, strangely enough, he ended up being the founder of a nation, the Edomites. You know, he made an interesting statement. And I think he made that statement to avoid personal responsibility. When his brother said to him there in his early 20s, sell me your birthright, the 32nd verse, the 25th chapter of Genesis, he said, what profit shall this birthright do to me? I want you to think about this a minute, because I want you to see what he's already decided to give up when he's just barely 20 years old. He said, this thing has no value to me. I'm not interested in the customs and the traditions of our families. I'm not interested in the future of my family. Young people, you're in great trouble if you're not thinking about the future of your family right now. If you're not thinking about what kind of family you want to raise with the Lord and before the Lord. If you're not thinking about your future children's relationship with your God. And Esau had no thoughts about that. He said, what profit is this to me? Well, what is this birthright? What's he talking about? First of all, who received it? Well, the firstborn son always got the birthright from the father. He's the one that received it. And that was the law of Israel. And it should have been Esau's. Why should it have been Esau's? He was firstborn. Now, how soon firstborn? Just a matter of seconds. When Rebekah had these twins, the Bible clearly tells us that Esau was born first, but Jacob came out holding on to his heel. And that's pretty close together. And we see in Genesis 25:24, when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out, red all over like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. Now by birth, the birthright belongs to him. That's the law of the land. But he has no respect for the law of the land. He has no respect for the tradition of the family. He doesn't really care about that. What did he receive? Now, you would think he'd be interested, because here's what he got. First, he received a double portion of everything his father had. He got twice as much money as any other heir. He would get twice as much money as Jacob would get. He would get twice as much land when the farm was divided up. He would also get twice as many cattle when the cows were divided up. To top all that off, he received a spiritual blessing from his father. And the spiritual blessing was supposed to bring him into a covenant relationship with his God, the God of his father. And he was supposed to continue building relationships with Jehovah God for his family. That's what was in the birthright. He was to be the spiritual leader of his family. Well, you say, why did he want this? Why was he not interested in it? First of all, it gave him responsibility for the family. The eldest born who received the birthright had the total responsibility. He's the head of the family. Now you see why he got a double portion of the money and a double portion of the land and a double portion of the animals. He had to use what he inherited to take care of his mother and any younger sisters who were not married. And that's a long-term responsibility. And here's a young man early in his life who said, I'm not interested in family responsibility. I'm not interested in taking care of my mother. I'm not interested in watching after my sisters who don't find a husband when they should. I don't want to share what I inherit with the rest of my siblings and having to take care of the weaker members of my family. There was a great responsibility for finances. What he inherited, though it was a double portion, was considered not all his. It was considered the family's for the maintenance and to take care of the family. He decided early, I want what I get to be mine. Can you see this, young people? He's very selfish. He's only focused on himself. He wants what he gets to be his. And he said, this birthright's worthless to me. I don't want to take care of everybody else. I don't want to share with everybody else. And most of all, he had responsibility for their faith. And he said, I don't want to be a spiritual leader. I'm not interested in that part of the family. He was to become the person to lead the family in their worship services. a person to reconcile the family to God when they needed reconciliation with God. I don't want any spiritual responsibility. Now, there are many, many young people under the sound of my voice this morning. Some of you are approaching the same age of Esau when he made these statements. I wonder what you're thinking about long-term responsibility. I wonder what you're thinking about the funds that you'll receive by your work or through inheritance or any other manner. Are you thinking, those are just mine, I don't want to help anybody else with them? I wonder what you're thinking about the responsibilities of being a spiritual leader. Now's the time, young people. Now's the time when you make these great decisions. This man made a horrible, horrible decision, and it destroyed his life spiritually. Oh, he turned out to be rich, but he was spiritually devastated, and the end of his life was miserable and unhappy. You keep saying, I'll wait and make those decisions down the road. I don't think so. I think you have to be making these decisions today. You have to decide what you're going to do with your money and your energy and your family and their faith. These are important things. Genesis 25:34, he despised his birthright. In other words, at that age, at that young age, he said, this birthright is worthless. As a matter of fact, I'll take a bowl of pottage. That's more valuable than my birthright. That's why God goes back 2,000 years later and reminds his people in the beginning of the New Testament age, when the Jews are making the transition from Judaism to Christianity, he reminds them that you are making decisions of what your faith is worth and what you will give for it and how you will dispense it. And what responsibilities you'll take upon yourself for the spiritual well-being of those that are under your control in your families and in your relationships. One commentator said he surrendered his spiritual privileges and personal responsibilities for a bowl of soup. Another commentator said, for gratification of his sensual appetite, he threw away all of his spiritual privileges for the future. That's quite a decision. And believe it or not, many of you make those decisions right now, not later on. Romans chapter 9 and verse 13, the Lord says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's a powerful statement. The Lord is literally saying the choices that were made by Jacob, though Jacob was not a perfect man, I have respect for those spiritual choices this man made. The choices that were made by Esau, I hate those choices. I hate the type of person that will despise his spiritual responsibility, that will despise his responsibility in relationship to his family. This is strong statements by God here in Romans chapter 9. Well, the last thing I want you to see in this passage, he argued for the restoration of his privileges. Look at verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 12. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessings, he is rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Came to his father when his father was about to die, many years later. And he said, basically, forget about the choice I made back there when I was a young man. Forget about the way I've lived. Forget about that I didn't get as involved with the spiritual matters of the family as I should have. Forget about the fact that I didn't take any responsibility to help take care of your family during the interim. But I'm ready to step up to the plate now. How about just erase all that and give me a double portion? And by the way, I'll take the blessing too. I don't think Esau's mind was really set on being a spiritual leader. He had turned against God. He'd walked against God his whole life. He's not asking for the spiritual blessing. He's asking for the financial blessing. There comes a time when the true person shows up, and Esau showed up. This passage is not telling us that Esau repented in as much as he was sorry for what he did. It's telling us he was sorry he didn't get the double portion he wanted. And when it said he found no place of repentance, the scripture tends to indicate that he's trying to change his dad's mind. He's saying, let's go back and undo this mess I've made. And put me back where I was originally. Young people, I wish I could tell you how many times men in their 40s and 50s have sat in my office and said, how can I erase my bad choices of the past? How can I go back and do this over again? How can I change my life at this point? How tragic. How sad. Many of them are sincere. And there is repentance if a person admits their failures and turns back to God. But if you're only upset about the fact that you've messed your life up and you're still looking for blessings without taking the responsibility, it's indeed extremely sad. What he longed for, he sought it carefully, the scripture says. But it's too late. It's too late. And where it says here in Hebrews 12 that he sought it carefully, it says he planned, he schemed, he worked at changing his dad's mind. He wanted somehow or another to escape the consequences of the bad decisions he'd made all of his life. Young people, listen to this story. God put this in the book, reminded his people of it 2,000 years later. I'm reminding you of it again today 4,000 years later, because some of you are going to go through the same horror and sadness and heartache that Esau went through if you make the wrong choices today. If you don't make preparation for your families and for their faith. If you're not interested in spiritual things. He searched for a way to get back what he lost. He plotted and he cried. This is really interesting. This great show of emotion for one reason, to get his father Isaac to change his mind. Have you ever seen people cry these crocodile tears and tell you how sorry they are when there's some reward available that they'd like to get, but there's no truth in the fact that they are admitting they made a horrible mistake and a horrible choice. This man is so set in his ways that what he's saying is, just forget about my bad choices and go ahead and give me a double portion anyhow. He's trying as hard as he can to get away from the results of his failure. I know of nothing in life that is sadder than seeing a man in the latter years of his life look back over his life and try as hard as he can to get away from the failures and the bad decisions he made. One of the reasons the Lord called me here to work with young people is because I care about your future. This does not have to happen to you. Your life is in front of you. You can make the right choices today. The unfortunate thing about Esau, he was left a bitter man. Look at Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Here is one of the strongest warnings in Scripture. It literally says in the Greek, whereby most be defiled. Contaminated is what that word defile means. Bitterness. Esau is a bitter man. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us in Genesis 27 that Esau hated Jacob because Jacob's going to get a double portion and Jacob's going to get the birthright, and Esau hated him. What is this? Esau made the decision to give it to Jacob. And now he's angry and he's upset at his brother who accepted the spiritual blessing and who really, in essence, became the spiritual leader of his family. You know, Esau is just like a lot of people I know today. They just make bad decisions. They do things wrong. And then they find somebody else to blame. They find someone else to say, it's because of Jacob this happened to me. It's because of Jacob that I've got all these problems in my life. No, Esau, look in the mirror and you'll see who caused the problem. It's your problem. And now he's bitter. And he's angry at someone else over his failures. Please don't let your life turn out this way. Please don't become bitter. I'm overwhelmed that this Bible tells me most are contaminated by bitterness. This is where most Christians fail. You make bad decisions and you look for somebody to blame them on. Don't let this happen to you. Well, what did he do? Here's what Esau did. He sacrificed the future on the altar of the immediate. Dr. Bob Sr. used to constantly say, don't sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. A bowl of pottage at the time he's hungry is more important to him than his future ministry, than his future family, than his future faith. Here's a man who surrendered his future rewards to avoid his family responsibility and his responsibility to the faith. This happens to a lot of people. Though he had every privilege, though he lived in a family that knew Jehovah and worshiped Jehovah, he gave away his future. And here's a sad picture. The sins of youth that become the sorrows of adulthood. Alexander White said of Esau, Esau lost his birthright because he had no vision for things eternal. He would not see the unseen with the eye of faith. He was only interested in today and what he could get today to satisfy his fleshly appetites and his selfish manner of life. Read this passage and heed this passage and allow it to lead your life into spiritual fruitfulness so that you don't have to look back someday and say, I fail like Esau failed. Heavenly Father, thank you for preserving for us these true stories about real people. Help us to learn the principles you're trying to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.